What can the righteous do in that perfect government isn't arriving until the millennium?
Listen, if we don't know as watchmen on the wall, if we've sat down and not blown the trumpet, their blood, notice, their blood's on us.
Exactly.
We're the ones guilty. They don't have the light. Gavin Newsom in the state of California, he doesn't have the light. Barack Obama, he doesn't have the light. None of these politicians that I understand, they don't have the light. But we do, at least we claim to. But what are we doing with it? We're hiding it under a basket. And I believe America is doomed. This is not bombastic. America is doomed unless the church wakes up and steps up. The demise of America will be by the hands or the lack thereof of the church.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan talks to two special guests, Pastor Jack Hibbs and Pastor Brandon Holdhouse. Both of these men have much to share in just a few minutes today, and we think they have messages for such a time as this. Here is today's programming.
Glad you can join today's programming. Say, I recently participated in a short interview of Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Ken Michael and Pastor Josh Schwartz of Olive Tree Ministries do a weekly program online. Well, they call it Understanding Our Times. I was sitting in for Josh Schwartz. Jack Hibbs, a good friend of this ministry, shared some thoughts and comments I felt needed to be heard by a wider audience than only the online format, and I'm playing that discussion in part one of my programming today.
And at a Bagram Air Base, once the center of America's war to unseat the Taliban and topple al-Qaeda, the Taliban held a parade showcasing abandoned U.S. and NATO military hardware.
Everyone is caught exactly where they're standing. I thought that in part because I was in New York on the 7th, and the next day, the 8th, there was a protest immediately planned in Times Square.
The people in charge of America's intelligence are testifying on Capitol Hill again today, raising a big red flag on what they call a fragile world order and some very real terror threats.
As Hezbollah's leader has issued a threat to Israel, saying if a, quote, total war is launched against the terror group, quote, no place in Israel will be safe from the group's weapons.
A stark warning about the growing threat at home from the devastating war abroad.
The ongoing war in the Middle East has raised the threat of an attack against Americans in the United States to a whole nother level.
Are we aware of any of these smuggling organizations are run by or are conducted by people that have ties, for example, to ISIS or other terrorist organizations?
There is a particular network that has, where some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties that we're very concerned about.
Welcome to the program. What are we witnessing in Israel right now? Are we witnessing an all-out assault? Is this the intifada that the Islamists promised would happen since 9/11? And then we have an election coming up. And what should pastors be talking about from the pulpit? And as Bible-believing Christians, if we don't agree or we have a problem with both candidates, should we even bother voting this year? Well, we're going to answer some of those questions. I'm Ken Michael. Pastor Josh is off this week. He's traveling. But I am so blessed to have with me the founder and CEO of Olive Tree Ministries, Jan Markell. Jan, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
This is awesome. This is the first time we've done this together like this, so I'm looking forward to
it. Maybe it'll be not the last.
I pray it's not. And we are so blessed because we have as our guest today someone that really needs no introduction. He's been a friend of our ministry now for the last decade. He's been on your radio program dozens of times in the last 10 years. He's been a speaker at your Understanding the Times conferences. And he's the senior pastor at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Jan, you call him America's pastor.
I do.
I couldn't agree more. I'd like to welcome Pastor Jack Hibbs. Jack, thank you for joining us.
Ken, I don't know about you, but Jan looks great sitting in that spot. We need to get her out more often because she's got a library of information throughout the years. And love you both.
It's a pleasure to have you, Jack. So give us your take on what's going on in Israel right now. Obviously, it's changing literally by the hour if you're watching what's happening over there. But is this Islamist promise that they were going to attack Israel and wipe the Jews off the planet? Do you think this is their final push, the intifada that they've been talking about? Give us your take on what's happening over there.
I do not believe it's their final push. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you study the history of Islam and its jihad out of the regions of Medina, for example, there is a tactic in Islam, which is to advance and then to take basically a step or two back. When Islam is winning, they will never consider a ceasefire. When Islam is winning, they will go until all is accomplished. But when they begin to lose or they begin to experience significant pushback, they do the famous, let's call a truce, let's call a ceasefire. And Israel knows this. The West doesn't know it, you guys. The West has no idea how to deal with Islam. Israel in the neighborhood does. And so, no, this is not the last. This is the beginning of many pushes forward. They might take two steps forward, but they'll take a step back. They're still advancing. There's no doubt about it. And they're advancing around the world right now. We're seeing that. What's remarkable to me is that the world would rather sit around and condemn Israel rather than wake up to the sleeping giant of Islam in its global desire to establish the earth under the crescent moon.
Can I just throw in a question, sort of a comment too? And I think you would agree with me, Jack, that in a sense, a global spirit of the Antichrist was unleashed. This would be back on October 7th of 2023, when we became aware of the now infamous attack on the kibbutzim in southern Israel. But that spirit of Antichrist, I think it was unleashed at a new level.
Yeah, there was something, wasn't there? You could discern that something got out of the bag on October 7th. If I could draw a comparison, and look, this is one reporter's opinion, but for me personally, ever since September 11th, 2001, New York City has never felt the same.
Yeah.
For that matter, you can go down the streets of New York and I can discern a sense of darkness that was not there previously. There seems to be that going on again. This time, it's a global thing. 9/11 might have been more of an American thing. This is more of a global thing. And Jan, you said something so insightful and profound. I do believe, and I don't think we're making this up when we say, something in our natural world takes place, but behind it are supernatural powers. And the book of Revelation is very clear about this when it tells us that the Euphrates River during the tribulation period will experience some form of demonic loosening of demons, special demons, that will be released. And the Bible says that they're actually chained right now at the bottom or under the Euphrates River. Now, the Euphrates River is a physical river. Yeah. It's in a physical location. But in the spirit realm, there is the residence of particular demon spirits that are so bad that they're being held till the tribulation period. I think we're seeing that happen now in the world around us, because there is no way, you guys, that IBM or Microsoft or Apple could have marketed a global release of information like Satan has done regarding anti-Semitism post-October 7th. Listen, no corporation could market it that efficiently, that fast, that wholesale. No way. There is a demon spirit that's loose. It's manifesting in the world around us. And my goodness, just look at the opening ceremonies of the Olympics.
Exactly.
For one thing.
Yes. Exactly.
That's demonic.
Yeah.
That's
totally opening demonic. And closing. Nothing like it ever.
Yeah.
So there's tremendous pressure on Prime Minister Netanyahu to pull out of Gaza or at least have a ceasefire. Our government's involved in it. There's negotiations going on right now. It appears that Israel is going to agree to it, but it doesn't look like Hamas will ever agree to anything like this unless Israel were to completely pull out of Gaza and agree not to re-enter Gaza. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, completely. And now, do I hope that Netanyahu stays in office? Do I hope that Israel finishes the job? Of course I do. But let's pretend it's just the three of us talking at coffee. If we're at the time of the age in which we have studied all of our lives, what do we know? We know that at some point in time, in God's prophetic time clock, Israel must be abandoned. Israel must be left alone. We know this from Ezekiel 38.
Yeah.
We also know that it is going to appear to be, in some way, shape, or form, living in a state of assumed peace. It's not real. The Bible makes it very clear. The Hebrew word is an assumed peace. It's not an actual peace. Well, if Israel's going to be residing in an assumed peace, something's got to happen in the Middle East regarding our current dynamics. A, Israel does appear to finish the job, but it's going to be put into a state of assumed peace. And or we've got the rise of Islam and Iran declaring that Israel must be destroyed. One thing we know for sure, how is this going to shake out? Well, we do not believe that the Antichrist will coexist with the doctrine of Islam. Those are two mutually exclusive worldviews.
Exactly, yes.
The Antichrist cannot coexist with Islam. But we know the Antichrist will prevail to a degree that there'll be a 7-year peace treaty. Is it possible that the time in which you and I are living in right now will give way to the rise of the Antichrist and he will broker a deal with Israel's neighbors and bring about some form of peace that is truly not a real peace? And we are on the cusp of seeing such things happen. I speculate, if we are, then how much closer is the rapture of the church? Yes, either way, man, I tell you right now, either way, we should all be honing our relationship with Jesus, and we should be testing ourselves to determine whether we are in the faith or not, because let's be honest, if Jesus waits any longer in returning for the church, I mean, how can it be a surprise?
Right.
Yeah.
My goodness, this is over the top, overwhelming stuff that we're watching. So yeah, I would love to see America prosper. I would love to see things turn around. That would be called revival. But if God doesn't revive the church in America or in the West, then we're going into some pretty heavy duty days. But glory be to God, he knew that we would. And so we are ready.
Jack, you and I have been watching the times, discerning the times, trying to understand the times for a while now. And you and I have never seen anything like this over a few decades. It's all converging. No. And I think that's the key word right now is convergence.
And so, Jack, you're talking about the country. Let's transition to what's going on in the country right now. We have an election coming up, and let's talk about that. I want to show a quick video and get your take on it and see where we're going with this coming election.
Over the course of the week, there are at least 6 major protests planned. The demonstrations kicked off on Sunday on the eve of the convention with the March for Bodies Outside Unjust Laws, which was organized by a coalition of several different activist groups to demand action on reproductive rights, LGBTQ rights, and an end to the war on Gaza.
Planned Parenthood Mobile Clinic. They have set one up just outside the United Center, and they won't just be handing out T-shirts and bumper stickers. They're actually going to be offering free abortion medication, inflatable IUDs, and vasectomies.
Outside the van was a taco truck, as well as a stand run by the Chicago Abortion Fund where patients could pick up goodie bags filled with face masks, candy, painkillers, and cards of affirmation.
Already, for the most part, agree that abortion should be available, but now they're seeing the ramifications of the overturning of Roe, which should be pretty inspiring come election day.
I mean, it's a carnival atmosphere, Lila, and you look at this and you're like,
it's unreal.
I don't get it. You're dressed up as birth control pills or mifepristone, your abortion pills, and the 20-foot IUD, and on it goes.
I hate to say it, but the Democratic National Convention has become a death cult.
Our guest today is Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. His latest book is Living in the Days of Deception. You can pick it up at our store at olivetreeviews.org or Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Jack, we just saw this video. What's going on at the Democratic National Convention? Yep. Not one candidate or anyone affiliated with the Democratic Party came out and spoke out against the mobile vasectomy unit. You can get abortion pills out there. They have people running around dressed up like abortion pills. What in the world is going on?
Wow. I took some notes as I was watching those clips. Number one, I guess to be sarcastic, if they keep this up by providing abortions everywhere, even in the parking lot of the DNC convention, and if they're doing vasectomies, then again, I'm sarcastic. Is this good news? Because they are eventually going to die off? That their liberal, crazy way of thinking is going to vanish with them becoming extinct? Well, of course, I'm joking right now. The fact of the matter is this is a demonic thing. And I wrote this down, and I'm sorry if this sounds hard, but please, I'm asking any one of your listeners to prove me wrong. What is the correlation? How is it that what we saw during the Olympics, you could just transplant that right into the parking lot at the DNC, if not on stage? There's a profound correlation of pagan identifying or identifying with pagan practices in pagan deities. And this is not a bombastic thing to say. The sacrifice of human children. I want to challenge everybody, honestly, how can you possibly support the Democrat Party and vote Democrat when they are parading this in front of your face using your money and your support to promote ancient paganism at the expense of a child's life and the mutilation, frankly, of man being able to reproduce according to God's decree? It's absolutely amazing to me. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 says that we as believers, whatever city and town that we find ourselves put there by God, we are to seek out the welfare and the benefit of that city so that those who live in it and we ourselves might live peaceable. And the Christian cannot sit this out. This is where politics has come into the biblical worldview scene and has said, stay out, Christian. We're declaring your Bible, your worldview under our domain. You can't vote. Keep your mouth shut. We will abort the babies. We will commandeer your nation. And we're going to have you pay for it, by the way. And oh, by the while, sit quiet as we parade these freak shows in front of you. If there's never been a time to fight, well, now's the time. And for the Christian to say that they're a Christian and they're a Democrat, is that even possible?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you got to vote for a biblical worldview that's the best, that's the closest. There's no perfect candidate, but I tell you what, there are more Republicans that are pro-life than Democrats. Republicans want religious freedom. Democrats do not. This is becoming all exactly what we've always believed. There is no sacred or secular. To God, it's all sacred. We, the believer, we have to insert the light and the salt into these dark situations.
This has gone so far, Jack, what you're describing. At the very same time, Iran is calling for former President Trump to be assassinated before the election. All of this is going on overdrive. All of this is going into the world of insanity and lunacy. And I go back to our opening few comments. It's as though demons have been unleashed on the entire planet. And this so-called democratic / demonic convention is very appropriate, quite frankly, for the times we're in.
And then was it a coincidence? Michelle Bachmann was on our Understanding the Times program recently, and she said, isn't it a coincidence that they tried to take out both candidates at the same time? One they removed and told them they'd invoke the 25th Amendment if he didn't resign, and then the other they tried to assassinate. So are these by chance, or was this planned out?
Yeah. There's a greater agenda going on.
You guys know the answer to that, but this is not only so well engineered, but they have been engineering this, and people are going to say, oh, conspiracy. How about this? What Jen just said a moment ago, you've got not only an assassination attempt upon a former president that is campaigning for the office now, but you've got the absolute buffoonery of the Secret Service that I've watched some of the hearings, and now I'm embarrassed to be an American. The other thing is this, where is a resemblance of the U.S. Constitution? Where's that at? What's going on here? You've got actually some sort of cabal, which I don't know of whatsoever, that is somehow puppeting people and moving things around where you have got now, if you're a Democrat, here's your choice. You've got a woman by the name of Kamala Harris, who frankly, as VP, nobody voted for her. They voted for Joe. He picked her. So he puts her on the ticket way back when. Now, all of a sudden, by fiat, they kick Joe out and they have, without the proper motion of delegates, without the proper constitutional way of bringing her about to be the choice for president, all of a sudden, she is the choice. How did that happen? Listen, it's absolutely what we've known from Scripture. When God is not in the minds of men, every man will do what is right in his own eyes. And that's what we're seeing in America. And unless there's mercy by God, it's not going to go well in this upcoming election. I'm afraid that due to Christian apathy, God will give us the leaders that we deserve.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. In fact, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is when God brings judgment on a nation, it's because of two things usually. It's the worship of false gods, false idols, and then the shedding of innocent blood. So I believe, and I've said this for a while now, I know Jan agrees, it's like we're living in Romans 1 right now, where God says, if you're going to keep doing this, if you're going to not stop what you're doing, turn away and repent, I'm going to give you over. I'm going to give you to the sin you want, and you can't take it back. It's giving you over to this debased, depraved mind. And I believe that's where we're at as a nation.
You guys, I've been doing a little bit of researching on Ishtar, the ancient goddess, and I am shocked to discover that the practices that she required of her devotees are shockingly familiar and similar to what we're seeing in America today. For example, in her ancient pagan worship system, she proclaims in her ancient writings or those of her priesthood, this is a pagan deity, that she is both a male, she is a female, she is a girl, she is a boy. She can shift her gender. Her priesthood, they would dress up one side of them male, the other side of them female. They would engage in homosexuality and lesbianism and beastie worship, things that we would think, no way, that's got to be coming out of Hollywood. The point, Ken, Jan, is this. I do believe that our culture has gone beyond the pale. I believe that we've crossed the line as a culture. I do believe that there is no hope for America except the church turning back. If America is given now this blatantly pagan, socialistic, a very opposite of what this Judeo-Christian worldview America was founded upon, it will be the hand of God. It will be the judgment of God because it's exactly what we wanted. You say, Jack, I didn't want this. Did you vote? Did you fast? Did you pray? Did you get involved? Did you find out that your children are being sexually molested in their minds by the school board wherever you live? Did you find out what's going on in your kids' class? Because listen, if we don't know as watchmen on the wall, if we've sat down and not blown the trumpet, their blood, notice, their blood's on us.
Exactly.
We're the ones guilty. They don't have the light. Gavin Newsom in the state of California, he doesn't have the light. Barack Obama, he doesn't have the light. None of these politicians that I understand, they don't have the light, but we do. At least we claim to. But what are we doing with it? We're hiding it under a basket. And I believe America is doomed. This is not bombastic. America is doomed unless the church wakes up and steps up. The demise of America will be by the hands or the lack thereof of the church.
What is your word to the pastors then, Jack?
Jan, Ken, I've been saying the same thing for over 30 years. Pastors are to be the stewards of their community, and they happen to pastor a church in that community. Historically, from the book of Acts all the way to the United States and Europe, the epicenter of any culture, town, village, city was the church. And the most educated, the most influential individual was the pastor. And so we need to get back to stop testing the wind of what's trending or how many likes I might get on this or that and face the reality. Our children are being pimped. The gender of a man and a woman declared by God must be defended by the pastor. It is the hour of the pastor to stand up and to proclaim truth without apology. And unless we get to it, you guys, unless pastors wake up and do it now, we've got a few months to make a difference for light. If we don't do it, then we are going to catapult this nation into a pit of darkness that is going to be unlike anything this nation has ever seen, and it will be something that it cannot recover from.
Jack, I totally agree with you. We have right now, if I can be blunt, we have two candidates on the left who are blatant Marxists. This is a very, very serious point that this country has arrived at. Because without a miracle, they could be leading America by January of next year. So a call to the pastors is so appropriate. And I understand many don't want to be political. Many just don't want to take a stand. Many don't want to rock the boat. You know what? It's time to rock the boat.
Yes, it is. And Jack, your church is an example of what every church, I think, in America should be doing. Tell our audience what you guys are doing to make sure that people get out and apply their civic duty and actually vote for the best candidates out there.
Let me preface my remarks by saying this to the pastors who think they are not being political. Do you have a 501c3? Then you're being political. Moving on to that, here's what we need to do. We are blanketing. We're going up and down the state of California. And by the way, this is available now in many states, and we are able to help you in those states, whereby in California, like some of the others, there is something called ballot harvesting. We don't like it. It's a bad law, but it's the law. So what we've been doing ever since 2016 is that we changed the name to ballot collection. Ken, Jan, I go up and down the state of California every Saturday with a team of cultural warriors, We are invited by churches, gatherings together. We have over 1,300 people show up last Saturday in Northern California. They want to know how to host voter registration at their church. How do they start their own ballot collection process, which is all legal in many states? Check your state. And how do you get out the vote? How do you get a voter's guide out? How do you educate people based upon the biblical worldview values? Simply this: what candidate's pro-Israel and has a record of proving it? What candidate is pro-life the most? And what candidate is pro-religious freedom? And boy, under those three categories is a plethora of information. By those three things, you guys, I can tell you exactly how a candidate's going to land on funding Israel for its war. I can tell you what they're going to do about Planned Parenthood and their funding or shutting it down. And you might say, well, Jack, I don't like any of the candidates. It doesn't matter. You're not going to marry them. You're not going to go to lunch with them. It doesn't matter. We're not electing a savior. Jesus is the one and only, friends.
Exactly.
But to not get involved is absolutely, in my opinion, a greater sin. It's exactly what Jesus warned about. Some were given a talent, some five, some 10. I'm going to go away. I'm going to come back. And then I'm going to hold a day of reckoning for you to show me what you did with what I gave you to do in the area of opportunity. What did you do when you had the opportunity? Oh, I didn't vote. Oh, so you took it and you buried it waiting for Christ to return? Jesus said, that is a wicked servant. You say, well, do you expect to win in all these elections? I don't care how the election turns out. I'm just going to do the right thing and leave the results to God. But my conscience is clear, Ken and Jan, because I have equipped every pastor I can. I have reached out to tens of thousands of Christians, encouraging them how to vote for pro-life, and then leave the decision to them to be knowledgeable. Choose today whom you'll vote for. And we've done everything we can. If I die today, I can say, Lord, you know, my conscience is clear. I invited people to vote a biblical worldview vote, and I'm free of the blood of those who, having perished by bad laws, or from those who chose not to do anything about it.
There are some listening, Jack, who are saying, I want to get involved. Who do they contact?
Contact realimpact.us, realimpact.us. We've got a kit to send out to you in whatever state you live in that has ballot harvesting. And here's the good news. Today, Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House. Of course, he took that from Kevin McCarthy. People are not asking the question, how did Mike Johnson become Speaker of the House? How did Kevin McCarthy? How did Nancy Pelosi lose her job in Congress? The answer is California. That's right. California sent more congressmen and women to Washington, D.C. than any other state. And in doing so, fired Nancy Pelosi. How did that happen? Well, wherever we set up and wherever we went into those locations and announced ballot collection, biblical worldview vote, we've won. Our congressmen and women have been winning in California. By God's grace, people might be shocked to see how California goes in 2024.
That's incredible, Jack. And I want to thank you for all you're doing. I think every church should use your church as a model. Our guest today has been Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. His latest book is Living in the Days of Deception. You can pick it up at our store at olivetreeviews.org or Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Jack, can we go out of the program? Can you give us some final words of encouragement? Because the days we're living in are dark. Give us some encouragement for these days of deception that we're living in.
Yes, I have my Bible. I have notes taken from the headline news. I can't think of a greater time to be alive.
Yeah.
With all that I've challenged and that we've challenged you about, this is not a time to lose heart. The exact opposite. Jesus said, as his nearing came closer to that generation, there'd be certain things that would be indicative and be revealed. And we're seeing those things now. Friends, I don't know the day or the hour, but Paul the Apostle said, concerning the times and the seasons, my brethren, you'll have no need that I should write unto you. You can sense it. If you pull back and take a deep breath and realize, wow, there's something going on. That something going on is the near coming of Christ. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He rose again from the dead. That is his eternal truth that is more relevant to you right now than it ever has been. Today, right now, this moment, my friend, is the moment for you to say, I am accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I'm a sinner. And he rose again from the dead to justify my life. Well, then I put my life in his hands. He died for me. He rose again from the dead. I trust Christ. I give my life to Christ. And from this moment forward, I'm going to walk with him until I meet him face to face. These are glorious days. Amen. Be encouraged.
Amen. Thank you.
Jack, thank you. You've been a blessing. You tell us the inconvenient truth, and you've ended on a very positive note. I can't thank you enough.
Thank you both.
When I come back, I talk to Pastor Brandon Holthouse. There have been at least three, I would say, breathtaking events right here in 2024, and I think they have much deeper implications than some are considering, and we will in a moment.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Olive Tree Ministries and Understanding the Times Radio. We are so pleased to offer Dr. Ron Rhodes' newest book, The Complete Reference Guide to Bible Prophecy. Over 500 pages that will inspire hope, wisdom, and encouragement. This book is your all-in-one resource for understanding Bible prophecy and the end times. With his signature clarity, Dr. Ron Rhodes makes complex topics simple, providing you with a composite survey of the end times, from the rapture to eternity. This authoritative work is sure to become your go-to prophecy guide for years to come. Find it in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org, or call us Monday through Friday at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. World gripped by growing conflict and chaos, it's hard to know where to turn for reliable guidance. But God didn't leave us empty-handed. His gift of Bible prophecy offers hope for the future and purpose in the present.
Israel's problems are so big, they're going to eventually turn to the wrong individual. Instead of turning to God, they're going to turn to the Antichrist. The setup is there. The whole mindset is set up because everyone's coming against them, even the United States at this point.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. Now, here is Jan Markell and Brandon Holthouse to wrap up today's program.
When I heard him spout that off, that shocked me. Where is our FBI? Where is the CIA? Why is it that we have one news organization blowing the lid on this? And these people, like, what? You're affiliated to terrorists? Hamas, Hezbollah, IRGC? You don't belong here. That's a terrorist organization. What is happening here? And again, this is why I'm trying to point this out to you. This is not Republican versus Democrat. This is way evil. This is off the chart evil if these types of groups are being partnered with the DNC. Something's not right here. To add to this, the demonic National Convention had Planned Parenthood offer free vasectomies and abortions during the DNC in the front. I don't know if you caught that. And you're like, what? Okay, and vasectomies and abortions, that just means they don't want people. It's a depopulation ideal right there. Wow, okay. And then they invite rapper Little John to rap there as if they're like cool or something. I don't know what that means. But here's the funny thing is, and it shows you, they say they're champions of women and women's rights and all this other stuff, right? They're really not, because of transgenderism shows they're really not for women's rights. When you find tyrants, they always abuse women. So they bring rapper Little John. Well, dude, I had to block some of his titles out on this article because they were so profane. But they're all about treating women horribly, every one of them. And that's who they showcased, a misogynist rapper, but yet they're for women's rights.
And welcome back. That was the voice of Pastor Brandon Holthouse, lead pastor, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, California. And in that little clip there, he is commenting on the recent DNC convention that set a new low, I think, in politics and conventions and all. And I have said right here on Understanding the Times Radio, and actually in some of my e-newsletters as well, that in the present year, we have seen several astounding global events. And we're going to talk about a couple of them in this segment. Brandon Holthouse, welcome back to the program.
Jan, always great to be with you.
This DNC, you were commenting on that in your little introductory clip, it's not your grandma's old-time political convention or political party, and you gave a very appropriate description of it, and my goodness, a new standard in calling evil good.
Yeah, and I called it tongue-in-cheek, the demonic national convention, because of so many off-the-chart evil things I saw around it. Like I mentioned in that clip, giving vasectomies and abortions. In fact, what I understand is they were able to abort 27 children at that DNC. But even the messaging and the types of people that are there, the Obamas, and then you bring in Waltz, and you guys are familiar with Waltz there.
Painfully.
Here's the other thing. Investigators have pointed out there were at least over 200 groups surrounding the DNC outside. 71% of them were affiliated with radical Islamic terrorist groups. A lot of them are front groups. Hate Israel, hate Jewish people, and they were all outside. And they're saying, well, they were peacefully protesting. Okay, they were peacefully protesting. But here's what people don't realize. The DNC is the one, along with the mayor of that town, who gave them the permission to have their rallies around the DNC. The interesting thing is they had denied other groups the ability to protest around the DNC. One group that was pro-Israel, pro-Jewish, was denied. But all these anti-Israel groups and radically anti-Israel that want to end Israel from the river to the sea were given permission to be around the DNC. So here's what commentators have said, and I guess this is where I'm going to weigh in on my opinion. They wanted them around. They gave them permission because if they didn't, they would have said, no, we don't want you around. But they wanted that around because they are appealing to a radical element in the Democratic Party, this Ilhan Omar type of person, this AOC, this anti-Israel BDS. They're appealing to that, and they're appealing to the Islamic vote, for instance, in Michigan with 250,000 voters. And allowing that to happen is an indication of who the Democrats are partnering with. And I would say to any Jewish donor to the DNC, you've got to think twice about what kind of party you're belonging to. When they take this radical of a stance, and it was not just Islamic groups, it was hardcore Marxist groups and others like that. That is the new face of the DNC. This is not the party of John F. Kennedy. This is a radical left demonic party.
And I think the tragedy, it was all in a carnival-like atmosphere. It's like they were partying. They were so happy and so giddy to all be together, united in evil. And I agree, this goes way beyond politics. This goes into the realm of terrible debauchery and, again, calling evil good. By the way, I know a lot of you are wondering, what on earth can we do to stem the tide of chaos in our country? I hear from a lot of you who are simply not going to vote. Here's a few things that we can do. We can stand up for truth. We can speak up and stand up for righteousness, and we can show up to vote, vote for policies. Folks, all candidates for all offices are flawed. So are you and I. Perfect government is reserved for the millennium, Jesus' 1,000-year rule on earth. In the meantime, we install policies, we vote for policies that emphasize more life than death. Not death and destruction, but life and liberty. Brandon, your website, and that would be the rockharborchurch.net, and you've got your church finder there. And I get many appeals a week and sometimes a couple a day searching for a church in America and having a tough time finding one. So I do like to refer people to that. So, Brandon, you have been very, very active and proactive as it concerns Israel, concerns the people over there, the soldiers over there. My goodness, I've caught you on the battlefield, literally. Why don't you give us an update on that? Because I think a lot of people and my listeners, I've got several who've actually contributed to that. And I think they can do that also, rockharborchurch.net, correct?
That's correct. They can go to our giving tab and go to the tab that says Bless Israel or Bless the IDF Families. And you can contribute that way. And then when you do contribute, know that your money is going to go towards protective gear for the IDF, for medical, for helping their families, because the families, a lot of them haven't been working because they've been called up. And so they've needed basic supplies for their families. A lot of that will go towards that 100%. And we are continuing to send groups over there once a month. We're taking supplies over there and buying supplies while we're there to help them in this war against evil.
Brandon, shed some light on what's going on over there.
As you know, it's a difficult time for Israel, but when you're on the ground, you really see what's happening there. And we have our contacts in certain IDF troops and units, and they give us more information about what's happening. The latest insight that we have is eventually they're going to have to go into a war with Hezbollah, and they're already said they're training for Iran. And that's straight from the mouths of people in the IDF troops. So a lot of our troops that we support, they're moved up north for Hezbollah. And I think a lot of the presidential election this year is going to have to play into that of when and where, how they're going to attack. The other thing that's happening on the ground, and a lot of people don't know this, is the fragmentation of the Israeli society that's happening because of this war. You don't hear this, but when you're on the ground, you hear it from the IDF guys. And what's happening is because this war has been so prolonged, a lot of guys have been away from home, but a lot of guys have seen a lot of bad things. We got to interview people that have been in rescuing hostages from the tunnels and rescue missions. And a lot of those guys will report, you see a lot of bad things. You see the worst of war. And unfortunately, when the media tells you, well, there is a difference between civilians and Hamas, there's really not that big of a difference, because when a civilian picks up a weapon and starts firing on you or aims an RPG at you when you're trying to rescue hostages, then you have an obligation to deal with that. And they end up eliminating those people who do that. And unfortunately, it has its effect on you. And then war does have that effect. We know from our own soldiers that they come home a lot of times with PTSD because of the things they saw. Well, that's happening in Israel. And unfortunately, there's not a lot of resources in Israel to help the soldiers out with PTSD. So a lot of times they're just being told, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and motor yourself through that. And that's not how you handle PTSD. Guys are coming home and either a severe case or a mild case of PTSD. And then they get hit with a divorce from their wife saying, I'm not going to be married to you anymore because you have this 1,000-yard stare. You've turned into a zombie. And the poor guy has seen too much, right? And they're like, I don't want to be married to this anymore. And so what's happening on the ground, the IDF is telling us, is they're having major problems with divorce cases in the IDF where their wives don't want to be married to them anymore. And it's bringing a financial burden, obviously, because the reservists are having to serve and they can't work at their job. So the wife and the kids are suffering financially. And so the stress of all of that is breaking their families apart. And like I told you off air, I think I now understand why Elijah is predicted to return before the tribulation, because their family structure is disintegrating. And the longer this war goes on, the more it will disintegrate, to where Elijah is going to have to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. He's going to have to reunify Israel's family unit to prepare them for Messiah's second return. I see that on the ground, Jan, and it's disheartening, but it's an inevitability of prolonged war that won't end.
You said that they are preparing for war with Iran. Has anybody apprised you of what that would look like?
They didn't give me any details. Obviously, they're pretty close mouth on that. They just indicated to me, I said, what's the next move? And they go, well, the next move is we got to take care of Hezbollah and deal with them, because we cannot have 80 to 85,000 people displaced in the north. And we have to probably move the border up to the Litani River and get some more space, because they can't be that close. And here's what people don't realize. There's a massive tunnel system up north as well. This has been one of the problems that they have to get taken care of. And the United States continues to withhold, basically have an arms embargo. Israel needs so many weapons from the United States, but one of the big weapons is this bunker buster that's a 2,000-pound bomb. And that bomb is able to go and bust those caves, those tunnels that they have. And so the United States is actually the one slowing the whole process up, the Biden-Harris administration. So they know they have to deal with that. And then they said, we're already training for Iran. And that's as much information they could share with me, but they have Iran on the scope.
Pastor Brandon Holthouse pastors Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, California. I've actually been privileged to minister there on a couple of occasions. You can learn more. A couple of websites, rockharborchurch.net or tipofthespearministry.com. I'll give that again towards the end of the program. Brandon, they have been at war now for a year, coming up on October the 7th, 8th. And now we're talking about a conflict that certainly, if we're talking war with Iran, and if we're talking move the border to the Latani River, that could take, quite frankly, another year. Is that possible?
I know, Jan. And what it indicates to me is that this war's never going to end for them.
That's right.
And that's what I'm sensing from them. And they realize it, that this thing is going to be a long process. And they have to do it. Because when I talk to them, it's an either-or situation, Jan, and that's what a lot of people need to understand, is the fact that it's either us or them. Hmm. They're going to either eliminate us or we're going to have to eliminate them. So it's not a thing where you can negotiate with Hezbollah or even Iran at that point. These people are wanting to destroy Israel, and you just can't let them continue to foment that. And they fire 150 rockets into Israel, and then Israel retaliates. Talking to people on the ground, I got to interview Caroline Glick as an example, and she was saying this is costing Israel too much to continue to defend itself. Israel cannot be in a constant state of defense where it does strategic strikes, but then never really deals with the issue of Hezbollah or Iran, because it's going to destroy us financially. Because Hezbollah gets pennies on the dollar for the weapons that they have, and they have about 150,000 rockets and different capabilities. Israel has to pay millions of dollars for like Iron Dome or David Sling or whatever they're using to defend itself. After a while, it becomes a financial burden that's going to destroy the country. So you just cannot stay on defense perpetually. You have to eventually go on offense. And that's what they're saying is we're going to have to go on offense. And I think, Jan, this plays into the election here. Because if Trump gets in, it might be green light, let's go for it. But if Harris gets in there or whoever they're going to run, that's definitely going to be a hindrance for Israel, because they will not allow Israel to fight this war, as we've seen.
That's right. Brandon Holthouse, is this a setup for the Mr. Fix-It? Is this the setup for somebody who's going to come along and say, I can take care of all of this in a heartbeat?
Jan, it's funny you say that, because when I was in Israel in June, I had that feeling. And when you're over there and you're seeing the magnitude of the problems, and like I said off air to you, Israel might be winning this war physically against Hamas, and they could physically take out Hezbollah, no doubt about that. But they're not going to win the propaganda war. Yeah. That's the problem. And so this propaganda war, the longer this war continues, the worse the whole world comes against Israel. And so you're totally right. It puts Israel in a position to where the whole world hates them for defending themselves. And yet a man's going to come in and say, you know what? I have your back, and I'm going to back off the entire world that hates you. And I will do a covenant with you and be your protector. And I was there in the hotel room in Jerusalem. And Jan, that was the overwhelming sense that I kept feeling. And I'm not trying to be mystical or anything like that. But I thought Israel's problems are so big, they're going to eventually turn to the wrong individual. Instead of turning to God, they're going to turn to the Antichrist. The setup is there. The whole mindset is set up, because everyone's coming against them, even the United States at this point.
I think that's the tragedy, or many tragedy, but that's one that's a personal heartbreaker, is that many of my listeners were sitting here watching a train wreck happen. And by that, I mean an American administration turned its back on Israel over 3 years ago, but almost every day, the offense is worse than... It gets worse by the day, is what I'm trying to say. There are things going on with what America is doing to Israel that defy description, and if we had a two-hour program, we might not cover it all. And then I have featured Michelle Bachmann, not only on air, but in person for our last Understanding the Times conference, and we talked about that extensively. And folks, you can access that on our website under video. You can get a DVD of that evening's presentation. It's also on her Rumble channel. And as you say, Brandon, depending on what happens in November, this could get even worse if that's possible.
Yeah, because everyone that's in the Biden administration or Harris administration are leftovers from the Obama administration. Yeah. They're anti-Semitic. If Kamala gets in there, and I'm just going to put it out there for everybody, if she gets in there, you're going to see Israel be put in the crosshairs and United States divorce itself from helping Israel because she's already anti-Israel. She already is pro-Islamic. Yeah. And I think even Michelle Bachmann pointed that out at your conference. And other people have shown her testimony many times at how pro-Islamic she is. And like I said, guys, I don't have to look any further than what we saw at the DNC. All these pro-Islamic radical groups at the DNC, what does that say to you? These are not moderate groups. These are hardcore people that want to kill Jews. The DNC is wrapping itself in these radical groups. That's what you can expect. And here's the thing, Jen, and I think all of us need to understand this. What kind of leadership does the United States deserve? Because for the last 3 years, we have been anti-Israel in the Biden administration, slow walking arms, not getting them the proper weapons, telling them not to take Rafah, making up lies that Israel's starving people, which is the total lie. I've been on the ground. They're not. They have a total encampment that are helping the civilians and feeding them plenty. But yet the United States continues to lie about what's happening on the ground and lie about Israel. I will bless those who bless you and I will curse those who curse you. So my question is, what kind of leaderships do we deserve after what the Biden administration has been doing?
You're right. And then you've got a conference coming up. I believe your conference is September 6th and 7th, correct?
Yes.
And here's what you say. You said this, when I decided to organize this conference and in the title, the geopolitical ramifications of the 2024 election, you say, I knew that I needed to equip the church to understand and navigate the upcoming global events. This is unprecedented as over 4.2 billion people, which is more than 40% of the world's population, are set to vote in over 50 national elections. At the same time, we are living in a culture that consistently rejects the teachings of the Bible and that is immersed in deception. So on September 6th, 7th, I think you've got, is it about 8 speakers coming again, Bakersfield, California. Give us a little promo here.
We're actually going to have it in Woodland Hills, California, to make it easy for people to get to the LA area. But if you can't make it, obviously people can live stream. And I have about 10 speakers. And what I've asked the speakers to do is not do a prophecy update 101. I told our speakers, assume that the people already know prophecy at a pretty deep level and take that and take what's happening geopolitically and politically what's happening in the United States and show us the trajectory of where this goes if we stay on this path prophetically. And so there's going to be a combination of deep dives, whether we're talking about AI, whether we're talking about the psychops that's happening right now. We are at war. People don't realize it, but there's a psychops war happening that's been going on for some time. We're going to be talking about what happens if Kamala gets in there, what happens to Israel if Kamala gets in there, or what happens with Israel if Trump gets in there. And playing those scenarios out because people, they need to understand the stakes that are involved. And again, I'm not saying that we can stop God's prophetic program. We can't. But there's things we can do that buy us more time, give us more freedom. And we need to understand, okay, as a believer, what can I do then with the time I have? And so we're going to be talking about those kinds of things at the conference.
They can access it on demand, $9.99. Folks, you can watch it for the next 4 or 5 weeks, however long, 10 speakers. And would on demand be tipofthespearministry.com?
Yeah, tipofthespearministry.com. You can get it there.
Okay, tipofthespearministry.com. Brandon, I'm down to about a minute or two. Anything you want to sum up here? I mean, we've given some bleak news leading up to where we are today. Look, America is in big trouble. That's all I can say. And I think what happened back in August at the DNC set the stage for some of this. And where are we going from here?
The positive that you take out of it is kind of what you've always said. It's all fallen in place. Yeah. And what we see is all the pieces of the puzzle are making sense. But the only way you can make sense out of it is to know the Bible, know prophecy.
That's right.
And then everything unfolding to you says, okay, God's in control. It looks like chaos, but it's not from a biblical perspective, which means that increases my faith, that increases my trust in him, saying, well, it's happening exactly how he said it. Therefore, it creates an urgency twofold, an urgency to be holy and an urgency to be about my Father's business. I don't have much time, so I better get on the ball and start doing what I can do and serving the Lord because the time is short. So I think that's the positive I would take away from that.
Couple websites, rockharborchurch.net. There you find the church finder under resources, and then the conference information at tipofthespearministry.com, tipofthespearministry.com. Brandon, thank you for all that you do. I need to go out of the program, but I want to say this in doing so, that the psalmist said so long ago, our times are in your hands, O Lord. And as we watch the chaos and the confusion in our day, aren't you glad that such a verse applies to our time as well? Our times are in his hands. Nothing is out of control because God is always in control. I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. You too are called for such a time as this. You are here on assignment. The prophets of old tell us that they long to see our generation. We are following the script outlined in the Bible as we watch all things fall into place.